from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, conservatives in Congress frustrated that the Department of Justice will not turn over documents related to their oversight investigation of certain procedural and investigative decisions made by the Department of Justice back in 2016 and 17, have asked President Trump to intervene and order them to turn over the documents. Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs joins us in just a moment with the latest. And why is this a big deal? What might some at the Department of Justice be trying to hide? National Review columnist and Fox News contributor John Fund is here to answer those questions. Also, news involving your host. It was announced yesterday that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has appointed me to the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. I'm certainly honored by the appointment and eager to draw greater attention to religious freedom around the globe. As you've often heard me say, our focus on religious freedom abroad is tied to our protection of religious freedom here at home. The two are intertwined. Well, the author of the International Religious Freedom Act, which created this commission 20 years ago, joins me to talk about the past, present, and future of America's efforts on behalf of religious freedom. Former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf is here later on Washington Watch. Also, we'll be taking your phone calls, so stick around. Your phone calls coming up later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. By the way, as I predicted, just two seats available at our pastor's conference, our Watchman on the Wall annual pastor's briefing coming up next week, May the 23rd through the 25th here in Washington, D.C. Again, just two slots available. So, pastors, if you've not yet made plans to be here, this is an event you will definitely want to be at. Congressman Mark Meadows, chairman of the Freedom Caucus, will be one of the congressional members speaking. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma will be there, along with many, many church leaders from around the nation that will be there. So, again, find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Probably this will be the last day that you can find a spot for the Watchman on the Wall 2015 pastor's briefing. All right. In a letter to the Department of Justice, several members of the House Freedom Caucus called on President Trump to use his power to release the remaining documents that they've been trying to obtain from the department for months. Joining us now is Congressman Andy Biggs. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Arizona, and he is a member of the House Judiciary Committee as well as the House Freedom Caucus. Andy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. And by the way, congratulations on your appointment. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate that very much. All right. You're on the House Judiciary Committee. You guys have been trying to get this information so you can find out what was driving the Department of Justice. What are you asking the president to do here?
Well, we're asking him to, as the director of the executive branch, basically the CEO of the executive branch, he runs it. These people ostensibly work for him to tell them to turn over the records that they have to us. I mean, you can't get any simpler than that, and we think he's got the authority and he needs to do it.
Now, some of the documents, as I understand, that have been turned over have been heavily redacted, where they've taken out a lot of information for what documents they have turned over. They're slow-walking other documents. What is there a suspicion of here? What kind of information are we looking for?
Well, the suspicion is that, what we have found, the stuff that has not been redacted, it indicates pretty clearly that our federal government basically was duplicitous in obtaining, say, FISA warrants to spy on people of the Trump campaign for political purposes. It's bad enough that they're doing this in and of itself, but for political purposes. We believe there was a systematic effort to try to prevent President Trump from getting elected, and that was not done by the Russians, although maybe they were complicit, but that was done by people at the senior levels of the Department of Justice and the FBI. And so we've reached the point where, they won't even give us the letter from Rod Rosenstein to Mueller, telling him what he's to be looking at in the investigation on Russian involvement in the election, ostensibly with the Trump campaign. They won't even give us that letter without severe redactions. And so when you get slow-walked, when you see all the redactions, you begin to think they are hiding something. I mean, maybe they're not, but they're certainly acting with guilty knowledge, guilty minds here.
Congressman Andy Biggs, I mean, I would have to imagine that a lot of people out there across America, like myself, are scratching their heads and saying, wait a minute, this is a Republican Congress, a controlled Congress. These are Republican members of the Freedom Caucus. We're talking about a Republican president, a Republican administration. I would think that they would turn this information over if it's just a matter of discovering the truth and trying to clean up the reputation of the Department of Justice.
Well, one would think, wouldn't they? I mean, but what we're seeing and what is that the deep state is more real than anybody thought. And so what happens is you've got people that have been entrenched in these agencies for many years. You've got people at the highest levels, and those are who I'm referring to, who, we know from the Strzok and Page correspondence and McCabe's correspondence, they were actively trying to prevent a Republican President Trump from being elected president. And so they're entrenched, and they're trying to protect their own. That's what it looks like. And, Americans love conspiracy theories, but this isn't a theory anymore. This is beginning to look like an actual a conspiracy at the highest levels of our FBI and DOJ. That is a problem, and we need them to turn over the documents. They need to quit hiding the ball.
I mean, the old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire, and there certainly seems to be plenty of smoke here. One final question for you, Congressman Biggs. I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon on this. Any indication from the White House as to whether or not the president is going to honor the request of the conservative members and order the department to turn this over?
No indication yet. I think that he's concerned that he has political concerns, just like everybody does. But at the same time, I think he's just as frustrated as we are. He believes that he and his campaign did absolutely nothing wrong, and they haven't. But what we've seen is that the FBI, DOJ, the Democrats, Hillary Clinton campaign, they did something wrong. He wants that out there, and he has got to walk a fine line, and we respect that. But we want him to just say, Mr. Attorney General, instruct your people to turn this over.
Well, it's also been a major distraction in the almost first 2 years of this administration. It continues to be.
It's a big problem. We've been able to get a lot of great things done, focusing on the tax reform, the regulatory reform, 21 constitutional-type judges appointed, et cetera. Imagine what could be done if he didn't have so much of his time and his resources of his staff. Diverted. Imagine if he had a full group of people that he's nominated through the Senate. I think that the sky's the limit of where we would be today.
Congressman Andy Biggs, as always, great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for coming by today.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Good talking with you.
All right. Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs, one of the good conservative guys. Actually, there's quite a few conservatives like Andy on the Hill, but he's one of the Freedom Caucus members. All right, why is this a big deal? I mean, why even focus on this? What might be behind the curtain here? What might those at the Department of Justice be hiding? Joining us now to answer that question is a columnist for the National Review and a contributor for Fox News, our friend John Fund. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
A real pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. I think you caught a little bit of that with Congressman Biggs of Arizona. Why is this a big deal that the Department of Justice is slow walking this information that's been requested by Congress?
It's not slow walking. It's stonewalling. Look, our founding fathers established a limited government of divided powers. It obviously has grown far beyond their envisioned structure, but we still have to honor it because that's what protects our civil liberties and our freedom and our way of life. We have a division of powers. We have co-equal branches of government, legislative, judicial, executive. We depend on each of them to watch the other branches to make sure they don't get out of line. That's why we give Congress subpoena power. It's why we give Congress oversight power. It's why we give Congress the power to demand documents and answers from the executive branch. When the executive branch refuses and uses dubious excuses or diversions to try to avoid handing over information to Congress, it leads to two questions. Do they have something to hide? And are they ignoring the Constitution? And in this case, all of the circumstantial evidence and the judicial evidence is that they are hiding something and they're violating the Constitution. And that should concern every one of your listeners, because what if they're hiding abuses in our intelligence community, which has enormous powers to potentially spy on and investigate Americans?
Well, John Fund, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Andy Biggs, because I'm scratching my head here. I watched this unfold during the Obama years when you had an attorney general that refused to turn over documents on the Fast and Furious scandal. But that was a Republican Congress calling upon a Democratic administration to turn over documents. You kind of get that. We've got a Republican administration, a Republican attorney general, a Republican Congress. Why is this happening?
Well, because our three branches of government have expanded to five branches of government. The fourth branch is the bureaucracy. The fifth branch is the media. And they're dead set against this scandal coming out, which is ironic because it's actually a very good story. You'd think the media would want to cover it. But in the case of the bureaucracy, I think the bureaucrats are worried that, you know, they crave anonymity and they crave the ability to burrow in and not be disturbed in their little power centers. And this would disturb that nest. It would reveal exactly how much the bureaucracy tries to involve itself in politics when they ostensibly claim to be, shall we say, a neutral civil service.
And, of course, the media not really wanted to cover this story because it's a scandal that involves not the Trump administration, but those that were part of the Obama administration and those who were that are holdovers, right?
Well, there's another reason. You know, the leaks on the Russiagate investigation, the allegations that Trump campaign colluded with Russia, there have been leaks all the time over that. There have been very few leaks in the investigation of what exactly did the Obama administration do to potentially surveil, investigate, or abuse the political process with the Trump campaign in 2016. So if one side leaks and the other side doesn't leak, the media has a natural excuse to focus on one story and not the other. You know, Gresham's Law of Politics.
Yeah. John Fund, thanks so much. We're going to continue to watch this because I think this is going to become a very, very big story. John Fund, thanks for being with us.
A real pleasure. Thank you.
All right, folks, find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. This is significant because I do think there's some things there that are, you heard about the deep state. It's alive and well, and I think there's an effort to hide certain things that are going to be embarrassing for not the Trump administration, but for the federal government. And those, as John pointed out, the bureaucratic aspect. When we come back, former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf, author of the International Religious Freedom Act, talks about religious freedom globally. Next.
Are you a pastor? Do you know a pastor? We want to invite pastors to Family Research Council's Watchmen on the Wall Pastors Briefing on May 23rd through 25th in Washington, D.C. The theme this year is While It Is Day, Repent, Unite, Engage. Pastors will hear from John Bevere, Michelle Bachman, Josh McDowell, Kay Arthur, Todd Starnes, congressional leaders, and others who will inform, inspire, and equip them to engage on issues relevant to today's culture. They will also enjoy a tour and reception at Museum of the Bible, a spiritual heritage tour of the U.S. Capitol, and networking with other pastors from around the nation. Registration is just $249 for first-time pastors and $299 for pastors who have attended before. FRC has limited funding to cover hotels and meal costs. For more information and to register, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit watchmanpastors.org. That's 1-800-225-4008 or watchmanpastors.org.
Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. All right, this is the last time I'm going to mention it, but you can find out more about it, pastors@tonyperkins.com or watchmanpastors.org. Next week, we will have our 15th annual Watchman on the Wall national briefing exclusively for pastors. If you're a pastor, senior pastor, you may want to check this out. Again, we just have a couple of seats available remaining. Folks like Kay Arthur will be there, from founder of Precepts Ministries, Michelle Bachman, former congresswoman from Minnesota, David Barton. We've got David and Jason Benham, Garrett Booth, pastor in Houston, Texas, Carter Conlon, pastor at Times Square Church, just a whole lineup. Jim Garlow, Bishop Harry Jackson. We're going to hear from, as I mentioned, Senator James Lankford. We're going to hear from Congressman Mark Meadows. So a great lineup, but it's an inspiring, encouraging time. So last time I mentioned it this year, go to TonyPerkins.com or WatchmanPastors.org. All right, as I mentioned at the top of the program, it was announced yesterday that the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced that he had appointed me to the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom as its newest commissioner for a two-year term. I am certainly honored to have this opportunity to advocate for, identify areas of concern when it comes to religious freedom. As you've heard me talk about many, many times, religious freedom is fundamental to bringing stability to society. But the vision of this began two decades ago. In the United States Congress, when the International Religious Freedom Act was passed back in 1998, and it was authored by former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf, and he joins us now. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us here today on Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be with you. Thank you very much.
Well, privileged to have the opportunity to serve on the commission that was created by the law that you spearheaded back in 1998. And I want to take a little bit of time to talk about the vision for that, why that law was brought forth, passed out of both houses, signed by President Bill Clinton. What was the motivator 20 years ago to bring this to the forefront of discussion in the Congress?
Well, several things. President Reagan, and I got elected because of Reagan. I lost two times. And Reagan kind of pulled me across the finish line. President Reagan said that the words in the Constitution and the words in the Declaration of Independence were a covenant, not only with the people in Philadelphia, you know, in 1776 and 1787 when the Constitution was ratified, but a covenant with the entire world. And Reagan sort of was the beginning. The other thing, many of the Jewish groups really did a great job. If you remember Jackson Vanik, with regard to immigration, they spoke out and they pushed and pushed and pushed. Then I took a trip. I took a trip to Ethiopia during the famine in 1984. And, you know, you had the communist government, Mengistu, and we saw people die. I got waylaid in a camp up in Alamata, a camp run by World Vision, and on one side was Mother Teresa's camp. That was a life-changing experience. Then in 85, I went to Romania with former Congressman Tony Hall, and we saw people who were persecuted. We talked to people who told us their husband was in jail, their son was in jail, and that was one of the Ceausescu. It was darker in Bucharest than any place around the world. And we came back and put in the bill to pass, take away MFN, and Ronald Reagan, God bless him, read the book by Pacheco, who defected. He was head of their Securitate. And Reagan, on his own, we had passed it. We're getting fights by the business community. Reagan took it away. And so I sort of came out of that. And then Chris Smith and I went to China in the early 90s. We visited the last gulag, the Perm Camp 35, interviewed Sharansky's cellmate. And so it kind of came out of that. And then lastly, you had people, giants, like Chuck Colson. Chuck was just, this is an important issue. You had Don Argue from the National Association of Evangelicals. And there was a gathering in the Mayflower in 1997, I guess it was. You had Chuck Colson, Cardinal McCarrick, Richard Land, Don Argue, and they all came together. And Michael Horowitz, I don't know if you know Michael, but he was one mm-hmm. of the ones that helped yeah. draft this. And it all kind of came together. And then this was during the Clinton administration. You may or may not recall, but the Clinton administration opposed the bill. And Secretary of State gave a statement against it. Madeleine Albright gave a speech at a Catholic university against it. The business community came out against it. Some of the human rights groups came out against it. Some of the church groups, I think the National Council of Churches, opposed it. So we passed it in the House, got it over in the Senate, and on the last day, it was being blocked. And Dan Coates was in my freshman class as a freshman member. He's now Director of National Intelligence. He saved the bill and got it over, and we stayed that evening, as unanimous consent, took the Senate language, and we passed it. But the business community was very much against it. So I guess the origin, I give the credit to Ronald Reagan. I would give the credit to some of the giants in the House, guys like Henry Hyde and Jack Kemp. I give the credit to the Jewish community. I learned a lot from the Jewish community. I mean, they really advocated for their people. Then I give a lot of credit to people like Chuck Colson and Don Argue and Richard Land and Nina Shea. I don't know if you know Nina, but you ought to sit yep. down with Nina because she has been a giant on this. And so I think that's sort of the background of how it came about. But if you may or not remember, usually when a bill passes, there's a signing ceremony. The Clinton White House never even had a signing ceremony.
Congressman Wolf, we're up against a break. I'll ask you to hold on. We're going to come back to this because I want to get your thoughts on, you know, where are we 20 years later? Have we seen this law come into its maturity? Has it really been utilized as it was envisioned? And And what's next? What's on the horizon for religious freedom globally? What will it take to give everybody that freedom that we've recognized, even the United Nations has recognized, is a fundamental human right, the freedom of religion? Folks, we continue our conversation with former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come, along with your phone calls here on this Wednesday afternoon.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. My guest, former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf, discussing the International Religious Freedom Act, which created the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. So we're 20 years into the law, the commission, the ambassador at large for religious freedom, which the act created. Is it functioning as it was envisioned? Are we seeing religious freedom protected, or has it been underutilized as a tool to promote religious freedom?
I think it's been underutilized. Let me just say, I am so grateful for Senator McConnell appointing you. I think you can, you know, I've always said personnel is policy. You put the right people in, and you can, with the right, you can make things happen. And it's, you know, what you've done with Miriam Abraham. I was at that event, I remember, about 2 or 3 years ago. And I know you really care. So you can make a tremendous difference. The needs are so great. I mean, China, Catholics are being persecuted. Protestants are being persecuted. Uyghur children are being taken away, put into detention camps. Pakistan, Christian woman Asia Bibi's been in jail for 8 years under a blasphemy conviction for taking a drink of water out of a cup. So there's so much that you can do. Also, you're with an organization. You care. Your organization cares. So you have a bigger voice than perhaps anybody else. I mean, you can really do a big difference. There are tremendous needs. Training the State Department employees. The law calls for it, but you should make sure that they're training everyone who goes abroad or to go through the State Department training. You ought to look at the curriculum, make sure what the curriculum says, make sure it's really strong in defending people of all faiths. You got a great opportunity, Tony, because you got an ambassador for religious freedom Ambassador Brownback, he's as good as you could ever, ever want. Trump, yeah. Pence are good. I mean, the vice president's speech that he gave before the IDC in defense of Christians, great. You got a great Secretary of State. So you guys are really poised to do a lot of good work. Secondly, prisoners of conscience. In the old days, everyone, we had had prisoners of conscience on the Hill. Congress would adopt somebody who was in prison, and you would write to them, you would write to the families. To take that prisoner conscious program and take it into the college campuses, to the millennials, to the Generation Z, have churches adopt a prisoner conscious. Maybe somebody's in China persecuted for their faith. Write letters to the prison. Write letters to the government. Write letters to the embassy. Maybe even picket an embassy once or twice. But that prisoner conscious. Thirdly, make the reports more readable. And have good public relations. So when they're announced, you get a commissioner to actually announce it, not just put out a piece of paper, but stand before the press and say, today we have done this, and this is the reason why. Public hearings outside of Washington, great to have them in Washington, but take it on the road. Next, build up public support. Maybe even have once a month or once every 2 months, almost an open mic program where any of the groups can come in and say whatever they want to say to tell you what's going on. I mean, the Rohingya out in Myanmar, it's genocide. And lastly, work with the diaspora. I mean, in Nigeria, 21,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria, 900 churches destroyed, 3 Catholic priests killed about 2.5 weeks ago, Boko Haram running rampant through the country with the Fulani militants. Work with the diaspora. There are 360,000 Nigerian Americans living in this country. There's 60,000 in Texas. Have a field here in Texas. Invite them to come in. There are more Iraqi Christians in Illinois than there are in Iraq. Deal with the diaspora, the Iraqi Christians. I think you guys, with the people that are filling these spots, and with your appointment, I hope the next couple are as good as you are that are waiting to come out. I think you guys can shake this thing up, and you're not afraid to speak out. I mean, you will say whatever you think, and this is the Lord's work. What they're doing to Tibetan Buddhists is, I mean, they've turned Lhasa into a dirty Chinese city. I mean, they're stripping 140 Tibetan monks and nuns, poured kerosene on their bodies in protest of the Chinese government. Did you see the story the other day? A guy that works for Marriott, 50 years old, does a little tweet about China and to Tibet. Marriott fired him. Nobody's saying anything about the guy. So I think you guys are poised with this commission, with you and people like you, with Ambassador Brownback, with Secretary of State Pompeo, and with the Trump-Pence people. I think you guys can shake this thing up and really make a big difference.
And it will have so many byproducts to religious freedom. I mean, from a national security standpoint, from an economic standpoint, but of course, fundamentally, it's a human right issue of that freedom to choose. Congressman, we're again up against a break, but I want to thank you for your vision and for your continued dogged determination to protect to speak for the voiceless and protect those in minority statuses around the world. So we are grateful for the leadership you've provided.
Thank you, and thank FRC. You guys do a great job.
All right. Former Congressman Frank Wolf, the author of the International Religious Freedom Act, which created the commission, which, as I mentioned, I have the privilege now of serving on. And I'm very excited about that. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that and take your phone calls on the other side of the break, 866-372-7234. When we come back here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. Your phone calls next.
Are you a pastor? Do you know a pastor? We want to invite pastors to Family Research Council's Watchmen on the Wall Pastors Briefing on May 23rd through 25th in Washington, D.C. The theme this year is While It Is Day, Repent, Unite, Engage. pastors will hear from John Bevere, Michelle Bachmann, Josh McDowell, Kay Arthur, Todd Starnes, congressional leaders, and others who will inform, inspire, and equip them to engage on issues relevant to today's culture. They will also enjoy a tour and reception at Museum of the Bible, a spiritual heritage tour of the U.S. Capitol, and networking with other pastors from around the nation. Registration is just $249 for first-time pastors and $299 for pastors who have attended before. FRC has limited funding to cover hotels and meal costs. For more information and to register, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit watchmanpastors.org. That's 1-800-225-4008 or watchmanpastors.org.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-APATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Welcome. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is, you got it, at T Perkins. 866-372-7234. Today, talking about the Freedom Caucus, members of the Freedom Caucus requesting the president to step in and order his Department of Justice to turn over documents to the Congress that's investigating certain activities, procedural and investigative activities that the DOJ and the FBI were involved in back in 2016 and 17. Big deal. We're going to be watching this. I think there's a lot more to this. And then we had Congressman Frank Wolf on, former congressman from Virginia, talking about the International Religious Freedom Act enacted 20 years ago, created the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, Ambassador-at-Large for Religious Freedom. And I now have the privilege, having been appointed by the Senate Majority Leader, to serve on that commission. And you look at what's happening globally on religious freedom, we have unprecedented levels of persecution of Christians and other religious minorities. And I would argue, and I have argued, that what we've seen under the last administration that led to genocide in the Middle East is because of our indifference toward international religious freedom, because we were trampling upon religious freedom here at home. And this is why the two are intertwined. If we truly care about religious freedom, the ability to live according to your faith, make decisions according to your faith, we'll protect it here at home. And that sends a message abroad that we care about this. And that was not the message being sent under the last administration. And that is changing. And of course, this commission is a part of taking that information and communicating that abroad, but also looking at those troubled areas of the world and helping to resolve those and bring hope and help to the persecuted around the globe. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Travis in Missouri. Travis, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for having me on, Tony.
Absolutely. What's your question, Travis?
I had a question regarding Frank Wolf's comments about getting the International Religious Freedom Act passed. He had mentioned that churches and other religious organizations at the time were speaking out against it, and I was curious why that might have been.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it was more the kind of the liberal churches, and I can't really explain why they do what they do on a number of things, but I businesses were opposed to it because what they didn't want and what some of them still don't want is, for instance, something that's been discussed and advocated for is that, for instance, in our trade policy, that when we're negotiating the terms for trade policy, that this be one of the components. And that's actually what this law sought to do and has done to a degree, is bring this issue of religious freedom to the forefront because of its connection. And now we have a connection with economic stability, domestic stability. We're now seeing with quite a bit of research that shows that while some would argue you got to have economic freedom, that leads to religious freedom. In fact, that was the big argument used with most favored nation status with China. China is a huge market, and so a lot of businesses wanting to get into China to do business and said, well, you we know they've got human rights issues, but if we give them economic freedom and we show them the principles of a free market, then that'll take care of itself. Well, now what we're finding out, what the evidence and research is showing, is that it's actually the reverse. Religious freedom is really the soil in which economic freedom and stability grows. And so I think liberals who were opposed to that back then, same ones who are complaining about it now, quite frankly. The left's been screaming since my appointment was announced, and there's a reason for that. As Congressman Wolf said, I'm willing to speak out against these things. Travis, thanks so much for listening and for calling in. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, my question is that the Attorney General in Idaho that is refusing to apply to the law that the governor just signed about the Hart bill, if he's refusing to do his job, can't the governor do something to him? I mean, I guess the only simple word I could say is demote him or, make him lose office if he's not going to fulfill his obligations to the citizens of Idaho.
Yeah, actually, it's Iowa, I believe you're referring to, Mary, is where they passed the heartbeat bill, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. It's Iowa. They passed – in fact, we had Congressman let's see, who did we have on? A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about bill that made it through the legislature there. It's a mirror bill of what's been introduced here in Congress. And governor signed it. And now the attorney general there, Tom Miller, he sent a letter to the state legislature saying that he'd kind of taken himself out of it, quote, determination that he could not zealously assert the state's position because of his core beliefs that the statute, if upheld, would undermine rights and protections for women. Now, he's a Democrat. The legislature is Republican, the governor Republican, and it's over the issue of abortion. Now, why can't the governor order him to sign it? Well, he is it's a separate branch. I mean, he's separately elected by the citizens of that state. Now, what the legislature can do, what the governor can do, and what they most likely will do, I don't know this for certain, but we've had other cases. In fact, it's really interesting. We've had a number of states. Mississippi immediately comes to mind, where you've got a great governor down there, Phil Bryant, and you've got a Democratic attorney general who has refused to defend a number of pro-family, pro-life laws that have been passed by that legislature. And so what they do is they hire outside counsel or they actually get legal groups that will come in and represent them for free. So someone will defend, I am certain, will defend the Iowa heartbeat bill. I'm sure there are folks standing in line that would love to take this issue on behalf of the state. So, Mary, thanks so much for calling and for bringing that question to the forefront. In fact, I was thinking, Steve King, forgot Steve's name there for a moment. He was on a couple of weeks ago. He's kind of spearheading that bill on Capitol Hill here in D.C., and it worked with members of the Iowa legislature to pass a state version of that. All right, 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. And, you know, it's interesting, going back to this life bill, where we see this, it's like a, I don't want to say tidal wave, but under, when Obama came in office and started pushing the pro-abortion agenda, going back to 2010, we saw state legislatures, we saw a big turnover, many of the Republicans gaining control of the legislatures. And then we saw a record number of pro-life bills. In fact, in the last 10 years, right, and I don't have the exact statistic in front of me, so I'm going by memory, but I believe in the last 10 years, we've seen more pro-life pieces of legislation pass through state legislatures, not just be introduced, but pass and be signed into law more in the last 10 years than the previous 30 years combined. I mean, since Roe v. Wade in 1973. And part of that was because of how aggressive the left has become in pushing this. And the people speaking through government closest to them in these state legislatures have been pushing back. And the heartbeat bill is another reflection of that. And so how do they deal with it? Well, you know, they refuse to defend it, to do their job. But as I said, there will be those who will, I'm certain, will step forward to defend it. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Ryan in Kansas. Ryan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine, Ryan. How are you?
Pretty good. So my big thing here is if states like, you know, Colorado can legalize marijuana and states like California can say that sanctuary cities, you know, are for illegal immigrants are now okay contra federal law, why can't we just go full bore and say, well, you know what, if that's the way we're going to play, guess what, in the state of Mississippi, in the state of Iowa, or wherever else, we refuse to enforce Roe v. Wade. Abortion is illegal. Deal with it.
Well, you know, it's not quite that easy. I mean, certainly states can do it, and I think this is what we see unfolding here in the last 10 years, where you've had states that are saying, "Wait a minute, you know, we're gonna push back on this." Now, the heartbeat bill, the one that was signed in Iowa, is actually the most protective pro-life piece of legislation passed to date. Now, there's a couple of other states that have done the heartbeat, but the heartbeat version is the most protective. I mean, it literally is when there is a heartbeat detected. So what you actually do see are the states pushing back. Now, these are all going to end up in the courts because the court has litigated and issued the Roe v. Wade on abortion, Casey versus Planned Parenthood about a decade later. So there is court precedent where it's not the case with, pot and, the other issues. Unfortunately, the courts, as in Roe v. Wade, as in Obergefell, have operated as an uber legislative body where, in most cases, five unelected judges are just challenging the policy or setting the policy of our country. But fortunately, Ryan, we're seeing state legislatures saying, no, we don't have to do that. We can actually pass laws and court can strike him down, but we can challenge it. We'll take it to the Supreme Court, and we'll just keep hammering away until we rectify and change what has been done. And this is, they're playing within the rules, and they're doing it the right way, and I think they're going to be successful, quite frankly, Ryan. I think ultimately we are going to see the court overturn Roe v. Wade as we know it, and this is going to go back to the states, and America will once again be a predominantly pro-life nation. Ryan, thanks so much for the call and for listening. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Dennis in Mississippi. Dennis, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to congratulate Mr. Perkins on his new appointment. And
well, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for everything you do and all your hard work and being a fellow brother in Christ. I'm so encouraged by all of AFR's ministries, and I want to say this with total grace and maybe a little season, a little bit of salt. You had the congressman on there who came up with the bill and made it happen along with a lot of help. And it sounded like almost like Paul telling Timothy to get prepared. I'm not going to tell you how to run your business or what you have planned for the future, but it sounds like to me this is a huge, huge undertaking, and you might be in the position of Moses of having to delegate some other responsibilities to other people and concentrate on this one very thing, because it comes down to saving souls worldwide. And I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate you, and I support you. And as Eli Wallach said in one of my favorite Clint Eastwood movies, now either talk, or if you're going to talk, if you're going to shoot, keep your gun loaded, keep firing. Thank you, Mr. Perkins.
Thank you, Dennis. I appreciate that. I thought you were going to use the line, make my day. But I do appreciate that. Thank you so much. Very kind. And I certainly would covet your prayers. In fact, all of you, if you would be so willing as to put us on your prayer list, I would greatly appreciate it. Yes, there will have to be some things I clear off my plate, but I'll have help. I've got a great team here at FRC. We've got a team of about 85 folks that are totally, totally committed to the mission here. And, of course, this will be apart from FRC. There's a staff there with the commission. I will not give up Washington Watch, because I look forward every day to having our conversation and keeping you informed and equipping you to be agents of change and transformation right where you are. It's all about all of us, each of us, where we've been placed to live out our faith in a way that is, well, as I said, transformational, to change the world around us because of the truth that's within us. So, Dennis, again, thank you for that. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls, but folks, thank you. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. And until that time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.